I am going to be talking to you guys for a few minutes today about hope. As you guys know, we're in right in the middle of our series called Hope, and I'm sorry that I'm moving all this music paper over here. I just don't want to read lyrics to you instead of my message. We are talking about hope, and I'm really excited to talk to you guys about this. My dad is going to join us, but in a little while, because the last time we co-taught, I stood here and he taught. So I'm going to start. So that when he comes out here, he can teach. I wrote the message and he's like, I'm gonna read it so I can add some things in. And he said, I have four pages, and he said, the highlighted part is what I'm gonna say. Two lines. And I was like, baloney. I'll believe it when I see it. We're gonna start off with a Christmas story. And I'm going to read to you the Christmas story about Mary and Joseph, all that good stuff, but I'm going to tell it in a different way. So to tell that story, I'm going to need some help. So if you guys will give a hand and welcome my brother, Stefan. Okay. He's super humble. So we're going to tell the Christmas story, but to do that, we're going to need to rewind all the way back to the book of Luke. So during the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. And she was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her, and he said,
grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor.
This is the Crocodile Dundee angel Gabriel, evidently. So obviously Mary was deeply troubled by this. I said she was deeply troubled, not obnoxiously terrified. She was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her by saying, stop!
In my name.
No. The Supreme said that. Gabriel said,
stop! Collaborate and listen. God is back.
No. I don't even know. Okay. Gabriel said to her,
Rolling.
That's Tina Turner, and I don't even think that word stop is in that song. Gabriel said to her, do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. And he will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne, and he will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And Mary said, but how can this happen? I'm still a virgin. And Gabriel answered, the spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child being born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And Mary responded by saying,
so if I do this, that means I get a pass in the whole morning sickness thing. I think that's only fair, right?
You're not wrong. Mary responded by saying, this is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord, and as his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. Now Joseph, Mary's fiancé, was a righteous man full of integrity, and when he learned of Mary's pregnancy, he took her aside and he said,
tell me who he was!
No. No. He planned to secretly end the engagement, and while he was still debating on what to do, he fell asleep. And he had a supernatural dream. And the angel from the Lord appeared to him and said,
Joseph, descendant of David, don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as your wife, because the power of the Holy Spirit has conceived a child in her womb. She will give birth to your son, and you are to name him Savior, for he is destined to give life to save the people from their sins.
So, when Joseph awoke from this nightmare, he did all that the angel of the Lord instructed him to do, and he took Mary as his wife. And they refrained from intimacy until Jesus was born. During those days, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus ordered that the first census be taken throughout the empire. Everyone had to travel to his or her own hometown, and so Joseph and Mary loaded up their donkey. What?
She's 9 months pregnant.
Again, you're not wrong. They headed to Bethlehem. Mary was pregnant, and she was about ready to give birth.
I gotta go to the bathroom!
Again, you've gone 7 times already, Mary.
Look, I am carrying your son!
Technically, he's not my son.
But you're just gonna abandon him? You're not gonna take responsibility for this?
Technically.
Okay!
Joseph needs a Zozo.
Again, you're not wrong. Anyway, so there were so many people in Bethlehem, and the inns were getting full.
Sorry, no room. Sorry, bye, buddy. No room in the inn.
Oh my goodness, come on, I am carrying the Savior of the world here.
Technically, Mary was carrying.
I am carrying the woman who's carrying the Savior of the world here.
Finally, one innkeeper showed them kindness and allowed them to sleep in the stable. Seriously. Mary went into labor. I don't think that's how that works. Actually, I know that's not how that works. Mary went into labor. Shepherds watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to you with the most joyous news the world has ever heard. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, Messiah. You will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feeding trough." And then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, and they all praised God, singing.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
with Jesus.
With Jesus Christ.
Everybody sings.
Okay, that's fine. They did not sing that.
Oh. What you be that guy?
No! No! Okay, never mind. They sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and good hope to the sons of men. Everyone give it up for Stefan! And give it up for Pastor Bill! I love the Christmas story and the message. I love the Christmas story and the message that it brings of hope and about Jesus, but sometimes, and I'm guilty of it too, I think sometimes we take the Christmas story and we find it only applicable from like the day after Thanksgiving until December 26th, and then it's just kind of like, we just kind of do away with that part of the Bible. Not that we discard it, but we don't really think about it much after that. But I was reading earlier this week, and I was just, you know, thinking about what I was going to talk about, and this kind of hit me as something that we can think about year-round when it comes to this Christmas story. So I want to talk about Mary carrying Jesus. And so shortly after the world created, I'm going to give you a quick recap of Genesis to Matthew, okay? Really quick, and I'm talking like literally quick. From Genesis to Matthew, we learn that God created the world, and then very shortly after God created the world, we messed up really bad. And we invited disease and depression and sin and hopelessness and the ultimate, I'll say it because it is, that hell is separation from Father God. And I tell our kids this in River Kids, a lot of us don't want to go to hell because it's fiery and it's painful, but what makes hell hell is the fact that we are separated from Father God. And so we invited the ultimate hell, which is the chasm that couldn't be crossed between us and Father God. And so when we did that, the world was covered in this inky darkness, and we could never, no matter how many different ways that we tried, we couldn't bridge the gap. And then God found favor with this little girl, this young girl who had, he had her heart. And he decided to give the hope of the world to Mary, to deliver. And he started out, just like all babies do, as that little tiny grain of rice. And he grew and he grew. Mary had to endure some things that were uncomfortable. She had to endure some things that were painful. Ask any woman who's been pregnant before. It gets uncomfy, especially when you can't reach your shoes or can't hold your pee. It comes to a point when you're done carrying that bundle of joy, sticking its feet in your ribs. She had to journey with Jesus. And it was a long journey from where she came from to Bethlehem, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's a long journey, and she delivered him, the hope of the world, in one of the most unlikely places, and she had to endure pain during the birth process. But she delivered that hope that the world was desperate for. And as a child, I thought to myself, you know, how cool would it have been to be Mary? You know, there are a lot of cool, you know, Bible characters out there. You've got Moses and, you know, through, like, God through him parted the Red Sea and got to see all the plagues. And you've got Noah who built a giant ark, and you've got David who slayed a giant. But what about Mary, who literally got to carry God inside of her and then deliver him? How cool is that? And then it dawned on me one day is that Mary's not the only one who got this privilege. She's not the only one who got to do this. And before you scream heresy at me, let me finish. Okay, there's only one Jesus, but Mary's not the only one who carried and delivered him. Anybody who follows Christ, I say this in River Kids, is that it's the easiest way for kids to understand. But when we follow Christ, we're on his team. We call it Jesus' team. We're on his team. And so when we're on his team and we decide to follow Christ, we have the Savior of the world, God, in us. If you're most three-year-olds, you do think he's in your stomach. I have had that said to me before. Jesus is right here. Okay, at least he's in there. I don't care if he's in your big toe, he's in there. And sometimes when we, every time when we have Jesus and we're carrying him, there's a purpose to him being in there. Just like a pregnant woman is not pregnant forever, even though it feels like it. There is a birth process. And he is inside of us for the purpose of us delivering hope to people. And sometimes it's in the most unlikely places. And sometimes we have to go through uncomfortable things to deliver that. Sometimes we have to give things up that we didn't want to give up. Sometimes we have to go through things that we didn't want to go through or journey to places we didn't intend on journeying to. And then there's always a pain process to giving birth. But that pain doesn't last forever. But what comes out afterwards, that's the lasting joy. And that's what we have the privilege of doing. Not everyone's going to like the journey that you're going on when Jesus is inside of you. Not everybody's going to follow you to Bethlehem. Not everybody's going to stick with you in the birth process. And you might be delivering this message of hope in a place you never thought you would. You might be sitting with the most unlikely people, delivering a message at the most unlikely time. But something that I love that it says in Luke 1:30 and out of the Passion Translation, he says, "But the angel reassured her and said, 'Do not yield to your fear.'" I love the way that's put. Do not yield to your fear. "For the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift." And I love the way that this is worded because Jesus says, Gabriel said, sorry, "He has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with this wonderful gift." And I love that because that's Father God's personality. And sometimes we get so stuck, you know, and we're just so rigid and just so stressed from the day to day that we just think that God's like that and he gets stressed out with us and that he's just unpleasant. And then he gives us things. It's like, here's a responsibility. Here's a task. Get it done and do it right and do it well or don't do it at all. But it's a gift. It's kind of like this. My dad's like that. He's a gift giver. That's one of his love languages. It's gift and touch. Ugh. I don't like to be touched. I mean, like, give me a hug, but then go away. Sorry. No. It's that this is what I don't like. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Father, God's like this too. Okay. But my dad's a gift giver, and so for my 17th birthday, my parents gave me my first car. I named her Franny. Long story. Named her Franny, but that car was awesome, and she lasted me for 10 years. I loved that car. And they were going to surprise me with it. I had no idea. And I was coming, a friend of mine was driving me home from a really long dance practice, and I was like super sweaty. And I was ready to get in the shower. We pulled into the driveway. They had one of those driveways that goes down like this, and then there was the garage, and then there was a circle in front of it. And so I noticed that both of their cars were in the driveway on the straight part. And I was like, that's unusual. They always park their cars in the garage. So I went inside and I took a shower and I came back outside and my mom's standing in the living room and she's just like, I was like, "What's up?" She's like, "I think there's a friend of yours in the driveway." And I was like, "What?" Like, it was like 9 o'clock at night. I was like, "Who's going to be in the driveway?" She's like, "Oh, go out there and look." And out in the driveway, I see a 2002 white Honda Accord sitting out there. Never seen the car in my life. And I was like, "I don't know any friends that have that car." She's like, "Just go out there and look. Your dad's out there talking to him." I was like, "Okay." So I go outside and my dad's literally leaning in the driver's window, talking to no one. But he's like pretending for me. So I come around to the driver's side and I was like, who is it? And my dad does this. What do you do? That. It was like,
happy birthday.
Literally. Happy birthday. And I was like, what? And I got to enjoy that car, but it was a surprise for me. And he enjoyed doing that. My parents enjoyed surprising me with that car. And they were excited about it. And it wasn't like, here's the car. Well, you didn't. They did do this a little bit, but here's the car. Now get the groceries and pick up your brother from practice and then go do this and go do that and run all the errands with this gift. There's a gift, but there's strings attached. It wasn't like that. I mean, sometimes I had to pick up the groceries and my brother, but it's whatever. But there weren't strings attached to it. It wasn't because a gift that has strings attached is not a gift. It's a business deal. And that's Father God. He gives us gifts. And he trusts us with those gifts.
Yes.
To use them for good purposes. My parents gave me my first car and they trusted me with that gift to be responsible with it. And I wasn't. I got in multiple accidents, but I'm a great driver now. And so for a little bit, until I could learn to be responsible, they did take some things away, the car away for a little bit. And sometimes, not that God removes your gifts, but he puts a halt on them for a minute until you can recognize what the purpose is for. We have been presented with this precious gift to carry. And it's the gift that keeps giving, but sometimes it presents us, we get presented with opportunities to deliver this gift, and there are things that stand in our way that cause us to be afraid. And that scripture that Gabriel said to Mary is so relevant to more than just the message that he gave to Mary. It's relevant to you. Do not yield to your fear. Do not yield when you're in the grocery store and you feel a tap on your shoulder and that gift of the word of knowledge comes to you and God says, you need to tell this person that. Because sometimes he's reaching out to you to deliver a message to them, because when you're not on Father God's team, you can't hear his voice. And so he's reliant on you to be the bridge at the moment to get them to Jesus. And it's scary, because what if they don't receive what I'm going to say? What if they think I'm a psychopath? Because I hear this big voice in the sky and they don't believe who God is. Do not yield to your fear. You might be delivering the message of hope in the most unlikely place at the most unlikely time. I'll tell a quick story and then I'll let you talk. Don't even act like you don't get the chance. Okay. I shared this on Facebook a couple weeks ago. Maybe last week, I don't remember. But my son, Judah, is about, he's almost two. And I like to go and walk and just spend time, you know, shopping, who doesn't. And I was walking around the mall the other day, and he kept taking his socks off. Go figure. And what happens is the first time he throws them down, I pick them up and I keep them because I don't want to keep bending down. And I'm walking through the mall and he keeps throwing them off. And I keep bending down and giving them back to him. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if it's because I just didn't want to fight the fight today, but I just gave back to him. And as I'm walking around the mall, this older woman walks up to me. She's like, you know your son has his socks off, right? I was like, yes, ma'am. And he was like, okay, just, you know, be careful because you might throw one down and you might lose one. I was like, okay, thanks. And so I kept walking, and then surely enough, I look, and there was only one sock. And so I had to trace it all the way back to JCPenney, and I found it. And then we went to the shoe store. I mean, it's for your feet, Journeys. And inside Journeys, there was a woman who was the only person in the store, and she was the cashier, and her name was Carrie. And we were just talking about random things, just about shoes and about, you know, Converse, which is my favorite type of shoe. And then I just was like, okay, I'm gonna go. And so I left. And then as I'm walking back towards Target, I thought to myself, I wonder if I should have shared the gospel. If that's ever a question, duh. And so I'm like, darn. And so I go to put Judah's socks on right before we go outside, and guess what I can't find? One sock. So I'm like, great. So I'm going to track it back. And as I'm walking, I'm like, you know what? I made a deal with God. It's like, if his sock is inside Journeys, I will talk to Carrie. And he was like, okay. And I'm walking, I'm like, oh, dang, you want to tell me what I'm supposed to say to her? So he gives me a message to say, and I walk in, and his sock is like not in the threshold of the store like it was with JCPenney. It was not in the threshold. It wasn't in the middle of the store. It was right at the cash register, right where Carrie was. So I just, hey, just like, do not yield to your fear, right? I want to ask you a question. And she was like, okay. And I was like, I don't know if you believe in God, but I do. And I just wanted to talk to you for a minute and just let you know. And I just started telling her all of these things that God was telling me about her. And that he wanted to give her hope this holiday season. And he wanted to give her things and restore her faith. And she says to me, you know, a lot of things were just, I'll just let that be between her and me. But one of the things she said, you know, I've been needing God to restore some faith in my husband and me this Christmas because my husband is overseas and he's losing some of his faith. And so then I was like, can I pray with you? And I got the opportunity to pray with her. And that's not a pat on the back for me. That's a letting you know those things happen to you. You're delivering a message of hope in the most unlikely place through the most unlikely avenue of, you know, your child losing his sock. God uses anything. And if you were to yield to your fear, somebody that needed to know, hey, he's real, he's thinking about you, might miss that if you yield to your fear.
Awesome. Yes. So good. I just have two quick things to say. One, I'm sorry, Danielle, because the last time we were here and we team taught together, I did all the talking and didn't let her have like one word or one breath. And so this is my penance this morning in this dude. But I don't really need to add a whole lot to this. I will say a second thing before I read the scripture is when we gave you the car, when we gave her the car, there were no strings attached. We were just taking her up on her word. And if you're a parent that has a teenager before they get a car, you know what I'm talking about. They say to you a million times, if I can just drive, I'll go to the store, I'll go get groceries, I'll go get gas, I'll go run errands. If I could just drive, when am I going to get a car? When am I going to get my license? If I had my license, and, you know, we'd say stuff like, Kim and I would say, who's going to go to the grocery store? And we'd go, oh, I don't want to go. And she'd go, I don't want to go. And the kids would go, I'll go. And we're like, you don't have a license. But when I get my license, I'll go every time.
If you're below the age of 16, watch what you say.
Anybody testify, you know what I'm talking about? So there were no strings attached. We just said, hey, you said. So just record it, parents, record it. I just want to read scripture from it's the one that Tom read at the beginning of the service today, and this is just kind of a theme for us right now. What God's speaking through this message is Romans 15:13. From the Passion Translation, it says, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his super abundance until you radiate with hope. And I just think it's important for us to understand what Daniel's been speaking this whole morning and what this whole entire service has been about. God is in us. Jesus is in us. And he's called us to go into this world and radiate with hope. And we should do this all year round, not just at Christmas time. Every day of our lives, we should radiate with hope. But boy, it's important right now. So many people are hurting and looking for hope in the day and age we live in. Are we going to radiate with hope like Jesus called us to do?